Have you ever walked the path of trauma recovery and feel called to help others on their healing journey? Your experience is valuable. The Global Trauma Institute offers certification courses that build on your insights while providing professional tools and trauma-informed principles. Taught by expert instructors, you will be equipped to come alongside trauma survivors applying the foundations of trauma care, client-led coaching, and practical tools to get people back on their feet. If you've ever thought about how you can make a difference in the lives of those who struggle to recover after life-changing events, you can transform your experience into expertise that can light the way for others. Go to globaltraumainstitute.com and sign up to become a trauma care practitioner or advocate. Classes start February 2025. The Global Trauma Institute, founded by trauma survivors for trauma survivors.
Welcome to the Healing Trauma Podcast, a compassionate guide for those seeking to heal and thrive. Introducing your host, Monique Coven, a certified trauma recovery coach and fellow traveler on the path to healing. In this podcast, we will engage in heartfelt conversation with experts in the field of trauma healing. We'll explore ways to cultivate feeling safe in our bodies and in connection to others, so that we can be present to live the life we've been given more fully and with more joy. Join us as we navigate the way towards a life restored. Introducing your host, Monique Coven.
Welcome, Lauren, to the podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You are a trauma therapist, and I read something that really struck me. And I thought this would be a really fantastic conversation to have with the audience. And it had to do with boundaries. We all know that boundaries, whether it's with our caregivers or people in general, we know how important they are, but we kind of leave it at that. I'd like to talk a bit more about that because you were talking about what boundaries feel like. And I think that just kind of defining all of that helps us to understand why we're doing it, what they are, their purpose, and so on. So let's talk about that.
Okay. Yeah. It's a topic that I feel like comes up all the time in therapy. And, you know, especially, I mean, this time of year we're recording right around the holidays when people are interacting with family and politics or whatever might come up because of things going on in the world. And so I think having boundaries and understanding what they are and how to set them is really important.
When I was younger, I knew in my mind that boundaries were important, but I didn't feel like I could tolerate the discomfort that comes along with setting boundaries at that time. And I feel very different, of course, now. Let's talk about, first of all, what do you mean by setting a boundary? What is a boundary?
I think that in general, I guess you could call them like rules that you have for yourself. And they're very personal to each person. So what you're okay with, what you're not okay with. And that can be in any category. It could be, you know, how you spend your time, topics that you talk about, questions that are asked of you. You know, how much you're willing to give or not give or whatever. Like there's every category of life. I feel like there's boundaries around that. So we run into them all the time and they're important to be able to know what your boundaries are and be able to express them. And I think on a small scale or like a regular everybody, every day-to-day scale, right? If you have a job and you're supposed to work till 5, but your boss is regularly expecting you to stay later, you know, that might be a boundary violation because that is going against your time. It's kind of going above and beyond. And so having like those boundaries for yourself, that's, you know, that's an example that it includes another person, like your boss is expecting it. But I also think, you know, there's internal things too. Like let's say you get off at 5, but you regularly find yourself staying late. No one's asking you to, but you're just doing it to try to catch up on things or you're checking email at home between things. Like those are your own ways that you're spending your time. And so having good boundaries with yourself too, of realizing that that is taking away from something else or other things in your life or other people's expectations of you. And so really just about everything we do, every scenario we're in, there's some form of boundary happening, whether it involves another person or it's something that we are internally doing ourselves.
It makes sense why we would even need an explanation of what is a boundary, because for most trauma survivors, many trauma survivors, there was no boundaries. There was no such thing as a boundary, or this is all I can tolerate, or this is yours and this is mine. There was none of that. Everything was mixed up into a big mess. And so naturally, the idea of you need to set a boundary or that would be good for you, for a lot of people, there's like, I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't know what that is. And the idea even of speaking out a need, you know, or that you don't really want to do that, but to say that can feel in the body, like the nervous system can get completely overwhelmed and they might feel like it's too dangerous. It's too dangerous to say what I need.
Yeah, I think a lot of the trauma survivors that I work with also don't even have a strong idea of what their needs are and where those differentiate from other people. And sometimes there's a lot of blurry overlap. For instance, if they have a need for peace and for everybody to get along and for the environment to feel calm, sometimes also having a need to set a boundary around how late people stay or what people are talking about, or please don't talk about these topics around me. If setting that boundary could potentially disrupt the peace and cause other people to be upset, like that feels scary too. I have needs, but also those go against these needs. So what do I do? And that can be a really hard thing to navigate.
Yes. And that's what you talked about it being hard.
Yeah.
So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. I think the post you're referring to is like you're not choosing between the hard thing and the easy thing, but you're choosing between hard and hard. And what I meant by that is it's hard to set a boundary because somebody could not like your boundary or somebody could not agree with your boundary. Usually when somebody is upset with a boundary that you are setting, it's because in some way, shape, or form, they benefit from you not having boundaries. You know, they're getting something out of that. Like, again, going back to the example of like a boss asking you to stay late, like your boss is benefiting from you working more and working overtime. And so if you were to say, hey, my time is really important, it's taking away from my family, I'm going to have to leave at 5. They could be upset with that because then they're not getting that extra thing that they want out of it. Right. So, yeah, it's hard to set the boundary, but it's also hard to continue to have those boundaries crossed. So yes, it's hard to tell your boss, I'm going to leave at 5, but it's also hard to stay quiet and be working overtime with no acknowledgement and feeling like other people are being impacted and you're being impacted by this boundary that's not being set. It's like you're choosing between saying a hard thing and the unknown that comes along with it, or you're choosing between that and just existing or going about your life in a way that is maybe creating hardship on you or people around you or discomfort. And so sometimes it's not like this simple solution, but, you know, there's also the possibility in a situation like that where, you know, you could say to your boss, hey, I'm leaving at 5. This is really important. My family, you know, has been kind of upset that I've been spending so much time here. And your boss might be like, oh, yeah, for sure. Of course you can leave at 5. It's potential that that has been like this thing that you built up in your head of being scary, which is maybe from past experience with trauma, maybe other times in your life in your past when you've set a boundary or put your foot down about something, somebody got really angry. So you assume that's what's going to happen in the current situation. And it's always a possibility that that's not going to happen, right? Or if they do get upset or they don't like that, you know, but you feel better about how you're spending your time. The people around you are happier. You're feeling like more calm and relaxed because you have a better work-life balance. Like, it's worth it to say the hard thing sometimes, right? So that was really what that post was addressing, is how that guilt or that fear or whatever, sometimes that just feels so overwhelming. But, you know, you're not being selfish when you're just being honest about what you need to stay whole. And, you know, I think that sometimes it feels like there's a lot of grief that comes with having to set boundaries, especially when it comes to like family, for instance. Like, it's sad that you might have to tell somebody, hey, this hurts me, stop doing that, or you're taking advantage of me. The fact that that dynamic even exists in the first place, there's some grief that can come along with that, for sure.
Just that, starting off with there, it's hard. There's no easy 1, 2, 3 boundaries. It's hard. And when we were children, we did not have the ability to speak up. We couldn't. But today, as adults, we do. And so we can make that choice. What I really took from that was the importance of recognizing our needs, that we actually matter. That is something that when it comes to, let's say we're dealing with trying to have boundaries with a family, that is difficult. We've often just, it's too much trouble, or I'll feel too much, or they'll take it badly, or they'll scream and take a fit. So I'll just suck it up. But what is that doing for our healing? What is that doing for helping us move forward in a new way and in an empowered way? And that's the part that you kind of brought to life for me when I was reading that. You also shared your own story just a little bit in the very first example about how you felt the first time that you set boundaries.
Yeah, I can't even exactly remember what the scenario was in high school where I had to, believe it was reaching out to like a coach, that I was just too overwhelmed. I had so much on my plate, and I needed to, basically, I was choosing like, what things can I take off my plate? And I just remember being like racked with guilt about it, and not really because I was unsure of my choice or I thought I would regret it. I was honestly very clear about what I wanted to do, but I felt so bad for the coach because I kind of felt like, you know, I'd given so much time and I think a couple other people on the team had left. And so the team was kind of dwindling, and I felt like the coach was going to be like emotional or sad herself. And she was, honestly. I didn't want to make somebody else feel uncomfortable because of something that I knew was best for me, and having to have that moment of like, I need to say it, because the alternative was to continue to burn myself out doing this thing that I knew I didn't have the time and the space for. I wasn't as passionate about it. I liked it, but I had other things that I really needed to spend more time on. And I just felt so guilty, and it was really hard. And also, it was really freeing to have it done and be like, that thing is off my plate now. And it's a big learning experience. Sure. Like, it felt like I was doing a wrong thing, even though it was the right thing for me. And I felt so much guilt about it. I see that play out all the time with my clients, and just remembering, I think that experience was really, it was a really hard situation. It was really overwhelming, but that was temporary, you know. And if I would have chosen the easy route by just, you know, ending out the year and continuing to feel burnt out and overwhelmed, you know, that is a potentially long-term, non-temporary, really something that could have caused health problems. Or
could your daily routine be full of hormone disruptors? There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living in our environment right now, in our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, and they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through, perimenopause, menopause. And while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we don't suffer through it. The good news is, that we don't have to suffer through any of it anymore, because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal ingredients called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. That's why Hormone Harmony is perfect for women of all ages who are struggling with life-disrupting symptoms, such as PMS-like irritability, moodiness, discomfort, or uncontrollable cravings, menopause symptoms such as hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts, low moods, poor sleep, and feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas. Yes, Hormone Harmony can help with all of these things. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone-supporting supplement. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are more than 30,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code HEALING at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code HEALING for 15% off today.
Work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping and have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle all your mailing and shipping needs with rates up to 88% off USPS and UPS. Add flexibility to your day with Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's Stamps.com/program.
89% of business leaders say AI is a top priority. But with AI tools popping up everywhere, how do you separate the helpful from the hype? The right choice is crucial, which is why teams at 1/3 of Fortune 500 companies use Grammarly. With over 15 years of experience building responsible, secure AI, Grammarly isn't just another AI communication assistant. It's how companies like yours increase productivity while keeping data protected and private. Designed to fit the needs of business, Grammarly is backed by a user-first privacy policy and industry-leading security credentials. This means you won't have to worry about the safety of your company information. Grammarly also emphasizes responsible AI, so your company can avoid harmful bias. See why 70,000 teams and 30 million people trust Grammarly at grammarly.com/enterprise. That's grammarly.com/enterprise. Grammarly, enterprise-ready AI.
Whatever. And also, I think in terms of the kindness piece of it, in thinking about that in the way of, I think sometimes we choose not to speak up about something because we think that's the kind thing to do. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But sometimes if you flip that around and think about, let's say you have a friend who calls you all the time when they're really overwhelmed and they just want to talk it out. You're like this support for them and that's really helpful for them. But you're just like feeling, my gosh, this person is taking up so much of my time and so much of my energy, and I love them, I want to help them, but I can't sit on the phone for hours every night or whatever it is, but I don't want to hurt their feelings. But if you think about it, at least for me, I guess I can't speak for everybody, but if I knew that I had a friend that I leaned on a lot for support and I felt like I could call them and talk to them, and if I found out later that internally they were like dreading that and that was draining them and they were feeling some bitterness and they were feeling some resentment and they were feeling like, oh gosh, this friend is annoying me, like I would feel terrible. Like I would be like, oh my gosh, like I would rather know, like, hey, I really don't have the capacity for this, instead of like knowing that I'm bothering somebody or that I'm draining them. And so to me, like speaking for myself, like I think a lot of times it actually is kinder to the person to be able to like set some sort of healthy boundary around that. There's usually some form of middle ground. It doesn't have to be this all or nothing thing. Hey, never talk to me again. But it can be like, hey, I know you're going through a hard time and I know it's really helpful for you to talk this out. I'm finding myself feeling really overwhelmed and I'm kind of letting other things in my life fall away because I'm trying to be there for you and support you. So maybe I can help you find a counselor. And if you want to talk 15 minutes at a time on my drive home from work sometimes, like I could handle that. But it's just these conversations can get really long and I just want to be able to help you. And I realize I'm not actually showing up how I want to when you're calling me in these phone calls or whatever. That's just an example. There can be a middle ground in a really kind conversation. I think that could happen.
That's hopeful. I think, though, that for many of us who have interactions with people who don't have that capacity, so I'm speaking specifically about caregivers who are emotionally immature and they don't have that capacity to see how their behavior is impacting on you, even if you explained it kindly, they may not get it. And this is where we really need to take that brave step of speaking up, because we know that it matters how we feel or how we're impacted, even if they can't get it, how we're impacted. I've heard it from many people, and I've experienced this myself, where you may have a caregiver that uses you as a sounding board and calls you every day. It's dump for as long as they can. And because you have this memory or experience in the past, you may feel that you're kind of stuck. You have no choice. You can't really speak up because this person doesn't understand and you'll just do it. But inside, it's impacting you. You feel it's keeping you from other things. You feel you're not able to say what you want to say, all of those things. And I want to acknowledge that can happen. I think I was in my early 20s and I remember going to a therapist and telling him, well, my mom calls every day and I don't like it. So he said something like, so why do you answer the phone? And I said, well, because I have to. He said something like, you have to? No, you don't. Yeah. Like I thought there was something wrong with him. Couldn't he understand? And then he kept kind of driving at, what are you afraid of? Like, why do you have to? And she's telling me her problems. And from that, I came to understand that A, I'm not a professional therapist and I don't have the time or the space to carry that. Professionals are better suited for that. And two, I had fears around not being available for my caregiver to call and dump, that were related to childhood, that were related to some childhood fears or false beliefs that I had, that I was ultimately responsible for the caregiver. And this is something that comes up. And it's important to understand that while we can be compassionate towards that, we really need to also be compassionate towards ourselves today. What happened after that was, I was really nervous the next time the calls were coming and I said, I can't be your therapist. You're going to have to find a therapist. And I put in my very first kind of boundaries of what is acceptable. So in other words, you're not going to dump your problems and that there's people better suited for that. And it worked for a while.
Yeah. And that's the thing too. Like sometimes, a lot of times, a boundary isn't a one-time conversation, right? You have to not only sometimes reiterate it more than once, also sometimes they change. You know, maybe you thought you had capacity for this much and actually realizing that was generous. It's actually smaller, right? But also living it out, right? You can say to your mom, hey, I'm not your therapist. Like, I really need you to find somebody that you can talk to about these things more in depth. But then if then she continues to call you every day and you continue to answer and you continue to talk to her for an hour, right? That behavior is essentially enabling it, right? And so trying to not just state the thing, but change your own behavior and maybe relay, like, what are some expectations around that? Like, maybe it's, I'm not going to be able to answer the phone every time you call. It's not because I don't love you. It's not because I don't care about you. But I just know for myself this. Or maybe it's setting a new boundary. Maybe it's, hey, travel to this other office 2 days a week and I have a longer commute. How about we plan on talking on the phone during my commute on those 2 days or whatever? what is this something different that feels okay? But yeah, and at the end of the day, you know, you don't have any control over how the other person responds to your boundary. I talk about that a lot with people, about how you can rehearse and say the most compassionate, loving, thought out, whatever script of how you're going to say what you need to say. And that doesn't have any impact on if they understand it, if they like it, if they get it, if, you know, they change. That's all on them. All you can do is say your piece. And if you can get to the point where you're okay with saying your whatever it is, regardless of them understanding it, regardless of them changing behavior, then it's sometimes things are worth saying, even if somebody doesn't get it, you know?
Yes, yes, yes. And I love what you said when you did your first boundary. It was hard. You felt sick. You even felt bad for how she responded. Afterwards, you felt so free. And that is what we're talking about. We can now look after what is needed for our health and our emotional wellness. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Holding those oftentimes conflicting emotions together of like, this feels awful. This feels terrible. And it feels good and freeing. Those both exist and they're both valid and they both have space in that interaction.
Yeah. You also mentioned something at the beginning, which is something that a lot of us sort of feel the same way. The thing that comes up right away is, we're selfish for doing this. And where on earth did we learn that? Well, we learned it somewhere. Actually, no, it's the opposite. It's caring and nurturing yourself the way you haven't been nurtured before. That's why it feels so odd and maybe wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think there's so many layers to that too. Yeah. I think especially, I don't know, I'm a female. So speaking from a female perspective, I feel like there's a lot of ways in which females are conditioned to, you know, not push back or not just be agreeable or be a helper or be, you know, somebody who is giving of themselves. And that can be a really good thing, but it can also be a not so good thing. And that can be really reinforced just in the culture or how sometimes we praise people for being such a hard worker and a grinder. And wow, that person, they're just working 80 hours a week and look at all this amazing stuff they're doing. And wow, it's like this like badge of honor sometimes. And that's not so healthy either. I think it's just so wrapped up in the culture around us and everything. And then you add in childhood patterns and trauma and conditioning, and you're just like, it's hard. It's really hard to unwind from all of that.
So it's a process. And I think that not to expect when you want to set boundaries that it's going to necessarily be this one and done. It's just a beginning and it's a process. And really important. So,
right. Yeah, there's some quote, and I don't know who said it, but I really like it that they say, like, boundaries is the space between how I can love myself and love you at the same time. Right. And I feel like that's so true of like, how can you take care of your needs and the things that you know that you need for yourself and also loving someone else? And that looks different with different people. There's different types of boundaries. You need really rigid boundaries with some people and you need some flexible boundaries with others. It's just, it depends. But without them, there's a lot of resentment that can build and a lot of bitterness that can build up. And it's hard to really truly have a good relationship and good feelings towards a person if there's resentment or bitterness that exists there.
Yeah. And I also think that if somebody gets angry with you wanting to set up boundaries, that's not a good sign.
No, yeah, because you got to ask yourself, what are they benefiting from you not having that boundary? And is that fair? Usually not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, this was a great beginning conversation just for people to really think about. And is there anything else you want to say before we close the conversation?
Something in particular, I feel like it's one of those things that you could just talk and talk forever about because there's so much to it. I think it's just one of those things that is present in everybody's life. You know, everybody's going to run into this at some point, some degree. So I hope that people get something out of this conversation.
Yeah. Thank you, Lauren.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I will put your information if people want to contact you or follow you on Instagram in the show notes.
Great. Thanks.